of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, September 10, 2011. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are live. Today's show is titled The New Dynamic, Changeability, and my co-hosts for today are D. Joy Ferguson and Valencia Lyles Saunders. What does changeability mean? According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it means the quality of being changeable, having a marked tendency to change. In today's society, we can call that the ability to reinvent yourself. We are experiencing some very difficult concepts in our society today. The notion of being in an environment that will be around for, let's say, 100 years is really a rarity. Let's keep it real. Companies that existed for decades are far and few between. I'm not sure if many of you watched the movie Too Big to Fail, which was on HBO. Well, this movie is based on the 2008 banking fiasco, which in turn caused our economy to go into a major tailspin, causing millions to find themselves in situations that have changed their lives forever. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, people graduating from college in the coming years will have to maybe have 10 to 14 jobs by the age of 38. However, for millions of Americans today, finding one is all they want. This fact was highlighted in President Obama's job creation speech on Thursday, September 8th. However, we're not here to discuss that topic. Our topic is how do you prepare yourself for this new landscape, the one that has been created for you. I say, give yourself a makeover. Sounds great, right? Well, today I believe I have some amazing women who can tell you how. Joining me are D. Joy Ferguson, also known as, well, is Dasha Joy Ferguson, also known as D. Joy Ferguson. Ms. Ferguson is the owner of By the Bite, which is a virtual administrative service company. In addition to running By the Bite, she is a ABA certified paralegal, licensed mortgage broker. She has worked in the Chicago Commodities Exchange arena, and that's not all. She is also a mentor to young girls, young adult females, and has volunteered for some major civic rights organizations in the Chicago area. I know I kind of left out a few things because this woman keeps it moving. Also, Valencia Lyle Saunders, she's a fine arts major who studied opera. She's worked in the recording industry in addition to being a recording artist. She's also been a department store buyer, oil investment manager, jazz singer, and was part owner to Shades of Laughter, Sisters Doing Comedy. Lately, she has been a business consultant providing creative marketing concepts to boost business revenue. She's taught classes to children with her mentor on the history of the Negro spiritual. I know I'm missing a few things because the list keeps growing and growing and growing. However, please allow me to introduce to you D. Joy Ferguson, who should be calling in shortly, and Valencia Lyle Saunders. I would like to thank Ms. Saunders for joining us, and we will be hearing from Ms. Ferguson soon. Hello, Ms. Saunders.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. Thank you. You know, after reading the bios for both you and Ms. Ferguson, I have to say that you guys are perfect for today's show. I mean, we're going to discuss reinventing yourself and how do you do it, where do you start, and all that stuff. I mean, I'm talking a makeover, a career makeover. And I believe that they are mandatory today. I believe Ms. Ferguson has just joined us. Hold on, let me bring her in. Good afternoon, Ms. Ferguson.
Well, good afternoon, Ms. Lyle.
Okay. Thank you. Just hold on, please. We have a little static on the line, on your line. So, And I know that you're probably busy working as well, so.
So, all the time for you.
Thank you. Some of the references I would quote are great resources, but I believe real people are the best experts, and I think I have you two as some of the best kind of examples that I could possibly find that I can reach out and touch. With that in mind, I'm going to throw some questions and statements at you, and you two can take it from there.
Okay.
According to an article in Fortune magazine in the June issue by Douglas Alden Walshaw, titled Pulling Off the Ultimate Career Makeover, by the end of 2010, the number of people working part-time because they couldn't find a full-time job nearly quadrupled since the 1950s to 2.38 million people. Okay. Now, why do you think this is so, and what are your thoughts on this statement?
Well, if I could put my two cents worth in, I know for a fact that it is probably over 2 million by now. And the main reason why the workforce is working part-time is because employers are only offering part-time, so they do not have to pay benefits. They don't have to contribute to your benefits as though they do with full-time employees. So therefore, if they will offer benefits, but it will be a huge chunk out of a part-time paycheck.
Okay. Ms. Saunders, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are people don't pay attention to those numbers. They mean absolutely nothing. They're scary. They keep you frozen. That's from just my own personal thoughts about, you know, when you hear X point million people. The other point I'd like to mention is that, yes, we do find ourselves in much more challenging situations, and we're all trying to make it happen. So whether it's part-time or full-time, the object is to stay in the game, to be working, to be challenged, to always have your foot, your face somewhere where someone can see you. So don't let where you work scare you, but make sure you are working.
Okay.
But that is the challenge. That is the challenge, trying to get your foot in the door per se. I mean, they wouldn't have extended unemployment to where it is currently at 99 weeks. People were actually able to go and get their foot in the door somewhere.
Okay.
It's become a huge challenge.
Now, with that in mind, okay, let's talk about reinventing yourself. In some instances, in an article that I read, I believe, in Fortune magazine once again, it said that there were some people who had these major jobs. I mean, they were really working on this particular job for 15, 20 years, and then they were let go. They had to figure out how to change all of that around, and that's reinventing yourself. Now, do you think that reinventing yourself is the thing to do nowadays?
I definitely believe so.
One thing I think for people to really remember that reinventing yourself doesn't mean that all these skills and the knowledge that you've acquired over time don't mean anything. It's just the opposite. They mean everything. You've learned how to organize. You've learned how to work with other people. You've learned a ton of skills that really are important no matter where you decide to go. If you are a lawyer and you decide to be a baker, lawyers are good at reading. They, you know, they're good at so many other skills that are transferable to baking, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to, when looking at reinventing ourselves, we have to really look at what have we acquired over time. What is it that's valuable about us? It might be your personality is really, really strong. It might be that you're a good team leader. It might be that you're a good teammate. So take all those things into consideration when thinking about reinventing yourself. Don't throw away everything you've learned, and don't discount anything that you've learned. It's all really important.
And I do believe that. I believe it's crucially important because you can take those skills and make a job. You can make a self-employed job if you stand on your strengths, if you know what your strengths are, and you can research and find out where those strengths would be most valuable in the workplace. You definitely don't throw out any of your skills. You use them to make a job.
Okay, since, you know, for instance, we have some people who have worked on a certain job for maybe, let's say, 10, 15, 20, maybe even 30 years, and all of a sudden they find themselves out of a job. Now, when you take that kind of employee and you introduce them to this new landscape with all this technology, do you think that technology is useful and beneficial in reinventing yourself?
Sorry, I can't hear Joy.
Yes,
we can't hear you. Joy, we can't hear you.
Sorry. There was in Chicago. We tried to address that same situation where we're middle of the people in mid salary 50s and 70s, and they were outsourced. They were out of a job. So what the city of Chicago did was they instituted something called Chicago Careers to specifically take those middle management displaced workers and give them computer skills of training. The classes were 6 days a week and they were 5 hours a day to try to help them. And they were
okay.
It had mixed effects because older workers really need to be patient with their skill set because everything we're trying to teach them in the landscape, isn't it? But I do believe we can do the tech training for displaced workers.
Okay.
May I add? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think technology is so important today. Even the car industry has changed to the point where an auto mechanic needs a certain amount of computer knowledge, because it's not the same anymore. The way you're still going to get greasy, you're still going to be under the hood, but there's so much information. Cars are smart now that even at that level, you need to have some computer savvy to negotiate even that job. And I think that as a country, we're not looking at these kinds of things. What we used to call vocational studies in school has changed. So not just for adults, but for a younger generation who might find that they're not going college bound, but they still need these computer skills. And as that person who's been in a job for 15 years, it's not going to hurt them to invest. And I'm sure on their job, they have had some level of, you know, interaction with computers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take it another step further. Social media.
Okay.
How has, you know, when reinventing yourself, how can social media be a benefit?
Oh, social media is crucial, absolutely. Because it can drum up the word about whether you're trying to be hired from place to leave, or whether you're trying to get the word out that you're in a different platform. And social media is huge. There's even a job now called social media manager, and another job called online business manager. Those are creative jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're strictly related to managing social media. I mean, one of the biggest recruiting tools that we have now is LinkedIn is a network. It's a very business network. It's one of the biggest tools for recruiters to grab a hold of talent.
Okay. So you're saying that, you know, it's beneficial for people who are trying to reinvent themselves, put themselves back out there, get themselves seen and heard, to involve themselves in some of the various social media networks available, yes. And LinkedIn is one.
Oh, LinkedIn is the main one. LinkedIn is
one thing. One thing I'd like to stress: when you are reinventing yourself in social media, clean up that Facebook page. You want when you when you talk about reinventing yourself, you're saying, I want to put myself out there as this kind of person. You have to identify what you're putting yourself out there as. So maybe you say, oh, I'm going to do it on LinkedIn. But when you do it on LinkedIn, people can trace you back to a Facebook, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And employers are getting kind of sneaky about that, you know, tapping in and seeing who you are on LinkedIn, tapping in and seeing who you are on Facebook. So you want those images to kind of match. And, you know, you don't want them to see your Facebook page, you know, with hanging out at the bar with your friends and you're a little snockered, or maybe you're not a little snockered. Maybe the picture just looks like you're snockered. So you want to kind of clean up those images and present a cohesive image of who you want to be in this new persona you're putting out there.
Okay.
As a freelance executive recruiter, I cannot stress the importance of locking down your Facebook account. Not just clean it up, lock it down. Because even if you clean it up, so to speak, those pictures might exist on one of your friends' profiles. And it's so easy for me to go from your profile to your friend's profile and see the same thing. Lock your Facebook down. Or just delete that one and start a new, fresh one, which is kind of impossible. Facebook has made it impossible. But still, if you can't make a new one, so lock down your profile.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed,
yes.
Okay, now let's talk about branding, since we're reinventing ourselves, branding. And I don't mean with the hot iron either, okay? Branding was once just for major corporations. Now individuals are branding themselves, and corporations are personally branding their employees. But what is branding? According to Brick Marketing, it's a full-service SEO, which is search engine optimization company, and search engine marketing company. A brand is an idea or image of a specific product or service that consumers connect with by identifying the name, logo, slogan, or design of the company who owns the idea or image. To put a face to it, like Michael Jordan, the Kardashians, Beyonce, just to put a face on it, to name a few. Now, there are books out there. There are so many books out there. For example, Me 2.0 by Dan Schwabel. He discusses the need. Yeah, so he discusses the need to brand yourself and how. Then you have Melissa Dawn Johnson. She also did a book called Brand Me, which is an excellent book also. And it's Make Your Mark, Turn Your Passion into Profit. And that's a great book. Now, what are your opinions and what are your thoughts on the whole concept of individuals branding themselves?
I think that it sounds easier than it actually is.
Agreed.
And I think that what it is going to take for an individual to really brand themselves is to have a serious discussion with yourself as to, what is it I'm trying to say about myself? And branding yourself, you know, set yourself up as the product. I am a product. What do I have to offer? You know, who is going to be looking for my services? What is my audience? Who am I speaking to? You know, and you have to treat yourself as you would a company, as you would a Michael Jordan, as you would a Kardashian, and maybe even set them up as your examples. What is it that they're selling? Who are they selling it to? Why are people buying what they're hawking? Why do people want to be associated with them? So if you're going to brand yourself, you have to take a serious look at what you want to sell to people. What part of yourself are you going to be putting out there that you think people are really going to buy?
Okay.
And if your skills is branding, is the accepting of the skill set that you are offering. You know, you can't just go around trying to brand yourself with things you don't possess or skills you can't provide. Branding is taking a really tough, hard look at where you are at this point, what you have to offer, how you're going to offer yourself as a product, because you absolutely are a product. I may be an executive level recruiter, but that's still a product. I'm still a product.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
now,
you definitely have to think of yourself as a product in order to work out all the details of your offering.
Now, I'm going to step back into the previous question about social media. Now, with social media, you have the ability to put yourself in front of people you may never have had the contact with before in your life. People,
right.
You know, like, for instance, you may be able to contact the CEO of the world. I'll just say it hypothetically. Now, if your brand is not in line with what you're trying to sell, you presenting yourself to that particular person is like you're just taking yourself not seriously?
Not at all. You're misrepresenting yourself to that person, which in the social media landscape, business travels in a fast and bad news travels faster. So you could, if one wrong move, you have got to have a real conversation with yourself and know exactly who you are, what you're selling, what you want out there. Because, as I just said, bad news travels faster on social media.
Okay.
I think you have to really, you have to know what level you're coming in at. You know, if you are just starting, it's not the time to present yourself to the owner, the CEO of the world. You know, you want to be able to present yourself in an arena where you know you have a niche, where you know you're going to get some traction, where you know you're going to be able to have enough coming to make a step up so you can grow. Sometimes when you place yourself too high, you're not equipped to run with those dogs yet.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put yourself out there where you know I am in the game right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to build on that. And then when you build on that, you say, what's the next level for me? And you have to do a little research. You have to look at those people and say, these are the people I think I want to target next with my brand of me. So you know you've got more skills under your belt. You've got more experience under your belt. You've got more on your resume to say, this is some of the stuff that I've done. And I think, you know, us working together, us associating, will be a good fit until you're ready to hit the CEO of the world where he can look and say, well, yeah, I've kind of seen some of the stuff you've done. Let's see. Maybe I've had my eye on you too. So you don't want to jump out, you know, where you really into the water where you really don't know how to swim.
But there are those people who do that because that is part of their skill set. That moxie is part of their skill set. And social media can, for better or worse, make you look bigger than you are. So before you, if you want to jump out there and make a mistake or two, know that the CEO of the world is going to see those as well as the steps you've made to move up successfully. So if you can handle that type of explanation for those
say, or failure, so to speak, and have at it. I think social media is absolutely fantastic if used correctly. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a personal question. How were you each able to transition from the various positions you were in? Because going from Valencia, going from being... I'm trying to figure out, going from being a recording industry person, a recording artist, to being an oil investment manager, how were you able to make that transition? Because it takes a certain mindset to be in the recording industry, and it takes a different mindset to be an oil investment manager.
In some respects, yes, and in some respects, not really. In the recording industry, there are a lot of levels, believe it or not. You're dealing with people who might be a little eccentric, who might, you know, be a little difficult to deal with, and there are some people who are a joy to deal with. So you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. You're really in a service position where things have to be right. You know, mm-hmm. things have to be handled in a certain way. You know, the recording, the person recording isn't always going to be on time, but you, the person who is facilitating this to happen, you have to be on point. You have to have the rooms ready. You have to have the equipment right. You have to make sure that everything is working. You have to make sure that your guys are on time. You have to, you know, the little stupid things like the basket of fruit is there, that, you know, waters are there. There, you know, the place looks good. So there's a lot to, you know, about organizing. There's a lot to do with organizing and making sure that things are right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's billing that has to be done. There's, you know, all kinds of things that you don't think about that you do on a daily basis that can translate into oil investment. Now, in mm-hmm. oil investment, you have to know your product. You're also dealing with people who deal in lots of money every day. So you have to really be up on your product. You have to be up on what you're selling them or trying to buy from them. You have to know your audience. You have to know who you're dealing with. And on both sides, you have to have personality. You know, not everybody's going to have it, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to be able to be able to communicate well with people, which is always a plus. You know, dealing with these numbers all the time, knowing, you know, what's coming in, what's going out, being organized, that same level of organization
mm-hmm.
as you put into, you know, making it right for a recording session is the same level of organization that you're going to have to use in this recording, in this oil investment area. And even as a singer, you have to know your song, you have to know your craft, you have to know what you're doing, you have to be able to, on some level, organize your band. You have there are a lot of things. You have to be able to organize yourself, your time. So I think, you know, in any field, organization is really crucial. And having a good attitude about what you're doing, because if you're unhappy, if you're miserable, it doesn't matter what field you're in. So I think those are important skills.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of those transferable skills.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then you can really get, you know, into what really sets you off, makes you special. If you're a great engineer in the recording area, then people are going to love the thing that you do and hire you for that. If, you know, you're a great A&R person, then that means that you really have an ear for music and talent, and you really know how to nurture that. It's the, you know, the devil is always in the details.
Mm-hmm.
So around that big picture, there are going to be these fine details that separate you from the others in your field.
Okay. Now, Joy, you run By the Bite, and you're also a licensed mortgage broker.
Right.
Okay. Those two, I mean, I find that those two are very different things. And how do you make the transition from one to the other? And then you still do both, but how do you make that transition with that? What skills do you have, do you believe,
well,
make it easy?
Well, I find them, they're both similar. They're both a logical sequence of events. By the way, as a administrative outsourced consultant and recruitment, they feel the same thing. You have to be organized. It's logical. When you get clients in, it's logical. You have to know what they're looking for. You have to be able to organize your search based on their parameters, organize your deliverables based on their parameters. And in mortgages, even though the industry is choking and gasping, it still is fundamentally the exact same thing, a logical sequence of events. Client comes in, you sign them up, you go from A to B to B to C to D to E to get to the closing. And to me, it was all the same, but it was just with small nuances. Recruiting, you have to force talent. And force talent is still the same as finding a lender for a borrower. It's still the same as finding information for a client as an administrative outsource consultant. So I felt that my skills just flowed, but they just had different times in different areas. But I did consider them all part of the same organizational structure and the same thought process, basically. You know, that little left brain logical thing.
Mm-hmm,
where, everything has to line, your little ducks have to line up in a row.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I really get it. I totally get that. Now, there are other areas in which an individual, when they're trying to reinvent themselves, that they should work on. A lot of people think that reinventing themselves means, you know, changing their hair color if they have gray hair and making it dark again, or changing the way they look. But when you're doing that, can it be that your look is your image or your brand or whatever the case may be?
Well, certainly. I mean, if you're a creative person, I would expect your look to have a certain amount of individuality to it versus someone like me who does mortgages, you know, recruiting, you know, typical suits and things like that. But I do think that even a creative person might want to tweak or reinvent their image if they're going out on a different brand, you know, a slightly different brand. I'm sure that Valencia, as a creative, had a totally different brand look for that type of industry as opposed to the oil, where it's more conservative.
Okay. Okay. Valencia, your comment?
I think that, yeah, it is, you know, it's a personal choice. But I think it should always reflect that you're polished, that you're happy with yourself. And if you are a creative person, have that creative look. But when you're a creative person, you might find yourself in scenarios where you might have to take out your lip rings for a meeting. Okay?
Exactly.
You might have to maybe not put the purple in your hair today. There might be situations where you need to tweak that look a little bit. You need to say, okay, this is not appropriate for this. This is not appropriate for that. And it also, if you're planning to go from creative to more conservative venues or a line of work, you have to know they're not going
to
totally accept, you know. They're not going to say, well, she's creative. No, she looks crazy.
She's
not approachable.
She's not
approachable. You know, you're scaring off the, you know, the client. Right? So it really is, you know, you have to address, again, who are you speaking to, you know, in terms of your reinvention. And also to couple with that, I think because, you know, I've been there so many times and I'm probably right there right now in the reinvention phase. But there's an emotional component to it, you know, that might take some people by surprise. You might have certain feelings about reinventing yourself. You might, you know, have feelings, am I good enough? And, you know, what am I doing? You know, and you have to address that. That is something I think it's important to address, because when you put your foot out there, you want to feel good about it. You want to feel some level of, even if I'm just trying this out, you want to feel like, okay, I'm going to try this out, and I'm feeling good about making this step. You don't want to be like, oh, dang, I got to reinvent myself. I don't feel like wearing this dress, or I don't feel like wearing a tie. And, you know, when you go out and meet people, they look at you and they're like, you're not comfortable, are you? You know? They want you to step toward them and be like, hey, who are you? I haven't seen you in the arena before. This is somebody new. They look interesting to me. So I think that's a component that people need to look at. And it's not always going to be an easy process. And that's what I find, at least for myself, sometimes going into new and different things, that the challenge is not always going to be, whee! The challenge might be like,
definitely.
Say what?
Definitely not. Like, what did I just do?
Yeah, what have I got myself into? So be prepared for the challenges that might come up for you, mm-hmm. whether they are technically, emotionally, financially. There are going to be some challenges on this journey, but it's up to you to figure out if you want to take the next step, you know, if this is a challenge you want to commit to.
And if, I actually feel it's a worthwhile journey for everyone.
Yeah.
I do feel it's a worthwhile journey for everyone. Well, ladies,
it is.
An unexpected candidate just walked into my office, so I'm going to have to pop off with you girls and to all your listeners.
Okay.
I enjoyed the conversation. I hope I can be asked back again.
Oh, we would love to have you back again, because
yeah,
I know.
Joy.
I will let people know how to contact you if they need you. I'll put it on my website,
absolutely.
And that way they can contact you. Thank you again for joining us.
Oh, Valencia, speaking of my this one was my compliment. Hi.
Good talking
bye-bye.
To you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay, now. Valencia, I have you on the line, and there was another question that came to mind that I wanted to just ask about. Let's just say that you were in an industry that was, let's say you were in the book industry, and as you know, lately, Borders is going out of business, and you have all of this, and you have this whole new landscape of e-books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone who's traditionally used to working with the actual hard copy book, how can they make a transition onto e-books? I think it would be easy transition, but then again, it may not be.
Well, first of all, you have to do your research. You know, research is key to finding out, you know, what are the positives of e-books? What are the negatives of e-books? What are the pros and cons of doing work online with e-books? You know, how many people are really buying e-books as opposed to people who aren't? What are the subject matters that you're trying to sell as ebooks? Are they for a small audience? Is it something that, you know, you feel that people would gravitate to if they knew they were there? How are you going to get that attention? How are you going to draw attention? How are you going to market your ebooks? Where are you going to start from?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, you know, I'm always saying this to myself, the devil is in the details. And the more you can define what it is you have for yourself, the easier it is to communicate to everyone else what it is you're trying to sell, what it is you're trying to introduce them to. Because
mm-hmm.
people have a very limited attention span, at least I know I do. So the quicker I get it,
mm-hmm.
the quicker it piques my interest, the more I'm willing to invest more time
mm-hmm.
into it. So you really have to know your product. You really have to know what it is you're trying to sell. Even if it's you, you have to know you so you can tell somebody, this is who I am, this is what I like to do, this is what I'm trying to, you know, break into, and I think we are a good sell.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Now, you know, a lot of people who can't find jobs have been creating their own. And I think that that's an excellent concept, but that also, like you said, emotionally, that could be a roller coaster ride, and it could be very taxing on your nerves as well. But do you think that is a good way for people to keep their skills on par until they find, if they decide they want to go back into working for an employer? But is this a good arena for them to use to keep their skills on par until they get into whatever it is they want to go into next?
Absolutely. I feel that you always have to be in the game or in some game to stay current, to stay connected to people, to stay connected to the energy of working, the energy of being a part of society. Even if it's something that you do, you know, I'm sorry, unemployment, but people who are in unemployment, even if you, and you're the lucky ones now, even if you are working for nothing, you know, with someone, and mm-hmm. it's in an area that you feel you want to break into, you want to get more experience, you want to stick your toe in the water, that's a good thing. You're helping them because they don't have to pay you a salary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're helping you because you are learning. You're going somewhere every day or however many days they can use your, you know, your skills, and you're learning. You're learning from the energy of that business. You're learning. You're meeting people. You're putting that energy of working. You're not letting that go. You're honing that skill. You're always honing your skills no matter what you do. So, you know, don't think that because someone's not paying you that you're not benefiting from it. And it really is a change in your mindset. Yes, we all want money, but, you know, you have to put that energy out there that I'm vital, I'm working, and, you know, something's going to happen.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to hire you for, you know, what it is that you do in regards to the business consulting aspect of your skills, how would they be able to get in contact with you?
Well, I have an email address,
okay.
Which is lyleshsaunders3@aol.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to get in contact with me. That's best.
Okay, great. And I will, you know, let's see. I believe Joy's email, her company is By the Byte. It's By the Byte. By the Byte. That's the name of her company. And if you go onto my webpage, which is the Coco Express Show, I will have, give me a day or so, I will have all the information for both of these ladies up on board so you could, I mean, if you need to use their skills, they are phenomenal women, and I have to say it is a pleasure having them on the show discussing this particular topic because, you can get all the professionals in the world and you can read all the books. Books are great reference tools. The internet is a great reference tool, but the best tool I believe there is having a live person who's out there in the trenches, going through the motions, doing it, and they can tell you what it's like out there, how it is, what's really going on. And I think these two women gave us that. They let us know, you know, these are the things that you should consider and think about when you're getting ready to do this. And never give up on yourself. Always have hope because everything that you've done between then and today is something that is transferable. It is a skill that you can reuse again. You can call upon it. You can put it into the next venture that you're going into. So never sell yourself short. Always believe that what you have done is of value for what you're going to do tomorrow. And with that in mind, I would like to thank you, Valencia, for coming on the show. I'd like to thank
you. Oh, you're welcome.
You're quite welcome. I'd like to thank you, Joy, for coming on the show. And both of them will be back again because, like I said, they have some valuable skills that are of use to you, and they will be sharing more of what they have to offer to you. So I truly hope that I gave you all something to think about. Now, I wish that you would all, this is my wish for you, I wish you all go out and have an enjoyable day, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and be well.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.